A woman bound in a wheelchair died in a fire this morning. Dallas firefighters showed up at the house on Valley Street, south of downtown, just after 11 o'clock this morning. At least four people were told were in that home. One person was outside at the time, but apparently could not get that 65-year-old woman out in time.
A relative sitting on the front porch, he began smelling smoke. He went inside to investigate, and once he saw there was smoke coming from that bedroom, he warned everyone else that was inside.
Firefighters say the home was not equipped with smoke alarms. They don't know exactly how the fire started.
This happened very recent.
Yes.
Very recent.
Happened last week.
Yeah, I was following that on the news, and I think it's very imperative. I don't know why it is, but there needs to be more investigation about apartments and...
Well, it's actually very timely because we're going to be talking about it today. The Bible study today, I named it, and I really struggled over what the name is. And I really felt like the Lord wanted to call it Snatch, Save, and Repeat. Snatch, Save, and Repeat. You'll see the significance of that. Of course, I had a WSAA story, which is a little more involved, and they're talking to the brother, and the brother who lived with her. It's a very, very tragic story because this particular woman was paralyzed on the left side and had no legs. Mm-hmm. And she lived, you know, like a lot of people that we know that a lot of people did live along in another building, perhaps, on the property. So this was like a back room of this particular home that they had been in the family for 40 years, or like four generations or something. And he just saw her, and the next thing, smoke, and the next thing, in the one that's in the WSAA report. It's heart-wrenching because they show the power chair just burnt to a crisp. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, what would that be like? Mm-hmm. So we really want to, and I really started to, you know, because it's been a fifth Sunday and we have an additional Bible study to do. What I did is I started doing the Bible study, doing the word search. When you do your Bible studies, who does the word searches? Ever do it that way? Pastor, when you're preparing a sermon, do you start with a word? Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, many times if somebody gives me an idea or I hear an idea on TV or something like that. Like last week I did a sermon on guilt because I watched that O.J. Simpson thing and he had no remorse.
No.
Kind of led me down the road.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's good sometimes to start your Bible study with just one word. One word will launch a Bible study. And so it was here because the verse that I came across is up on the screen, and I was doing a concordant search on the word fire. And it's in the book of Jude. The first Jude is right before Revelation. So it's the penultimate book of the Bible. I don't know if that's the right word. But it's the second to last book of the Bible. Very short, one chapter, right? And it is in the 22nd verse, and I use the NIV because I like the way that the wording was. Be merciful to those who doubt, verse 23, snatch others from the fire and save them. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy. Because when you watch the story that we weren't able to capture, the helplessness of the brother and being unable to snatch his sister was very, very moving. And then I thought, yes, we need to be concerned about physical fire, right? But as Christians, we're a little more concerned about the eternal fire, right? The eternal fire. Also known as
hell.
Hell. Also known as hell. Now, we can do a whole search on God, and I spent way too much time on the Word, okay? But what I found was very fascinating, that's up on the screen actually, is that when you do a search for just the keyword, Christians, and now I want to know what Christians think about, you only get two books come up. Like, people have written books on hell. They've got bumper stickers about hell. They've got t-shirts about hell. But heaven? Heaven, you got hundreds and hundreds of books. But hell, not so much. So I thought, well, that's really odd. I'm going to do a little more searching on this topic. That I've gotten launched into now. Come on, let me go. Here, I put it on the same screen. I should have known that. I use PC Study Bible, which is a software that allows you to do Bible study, it just searches and so forth, right? And I did it again, and I looked for the word now. And I only found 13 verses. And I thought, well, that's odd. There's only 13 words about it. Why are there only 13 words about it? How many are in heaven? How many in heaven, Pete? You can see it.
You said
422 verses on heaven. So, suffice to say, just in that little bit of digging around, every time you do Bible study, you are well rewarded. So I think I got a little bit of insight that I would say Christians just don't like to talk about hell. What do you think?
They don't want to.
But you got to talk about it.
They don't want to think about the reality of that.
We don't want to think about it.
They won't go there.
And the reality is...
Don't go there. Yeah, we don't want to go there. But we got to talk about it. Right? Okay. So... there's a couple of other versions. Because now I wanted to say, what does Jesus say about it? What anyone else says about it doesn't really matter, right? But what Jesus says about it is sort of important, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have to go to the book of Matthew. Of course, we have the four main gospels, those being...
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Yes. Three of those have very similar, and they're called the what?
Synoptic.
The Synoptic Gospels. So we have that here. We have two synoptic passages. One is in the book of Matthew, and the one is in the book of Luke. I use the one in Matthew. I don't think I put the one in Luke. Is anyone able to read that? I don't know if I got it big enough.
I fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body.
In hell. Right. And that's very similar to the one in Luke, which is, as I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. That is in Luke 12, 4 and 5. Now, the question about this is, so what? Okay. Oh, I did put Luke in there, sorry. What's the so what? I actually put it up there. What is the so what about hell? So if somebody asks you who's not a believer, so what's the big deal about hell? Because
you can't get out.
Just like there's a reality of heaven, there's a reality of hell.
It's separation.
Kelly has a question.
How do we know who can go to hell?
Because the Bible says you can't get out. You really have to then go into, we could spend time on hell, I did, and suffice to say, we could get into some real deep theological weeds. I don't have time today,
We can have Glenn out, we get real wrapped up in that. But suffice to say, you don't get out of it. You go and you do not pass go, you do not collect $200. And you're not going anywhere ever. You're there for
eternity.
It's, Kelly, it's kind of like, while you're here on Earth, you have the opportunity to change your life around if you're doing bad things and change into your godly state so that whenever you die, you go to heaven. But if you choose not to do that, God chooses to turn his back on you just like you had him, and you're gone. You're dead to him.
Preach it.
I'm sorry.
Preach it to you. A little hellfire and brimstone doing to do those good.
Well,
does she understand that there was a creature that was one of the archangels, the second in command, I guess, when Lucifer, who in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, where it's recorded that he rebelled against God, and Jesus, our God, who is the same. I mean, they said that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels.
Well, he chose it. Because
so you make the choice
people will say, and there are, you know, people will say, but God loves us.
And he does.
He would never send us to hell.
And he doesn't.
He doesn't.
You choose to go there.
You sin yourself, yes. You're ahead of me. But he sent his own son to hell.
Right. He allowed Jesus when
Jesus didn't send himself out.
Jesus
allowed Jesus when he got out, yes.
Now there's a
whole new
Bible study of when Jesus said it is finished, and his body and his soul separated from his body, and it actually went to the in the New Testament it talks about going to hell. That's what some theologians think it was.
It's not really clearly outlined about what did he do for those 3 days.
He actually suffered the same sufferings that we would suffer if we died and didn't have Jesus as our Savior.
We don't really, there are indications, there's no real clear, here's what he did. I mean, we sort of have an idea.
I think you like the first
thing. Again, we could get way into the theological. And we don't want to get into the theological weeks right now. We don't have time. If your pastor preached today. But here's the question. What do we do about it? We could be talking about heaven. Why are we talking about hell? Because we need to have some sort of response to it. Okay? I don't think I could read all these 13 books, but even if I read the 13 books that I do that are on hell, your head's just spinning. So I thought, wow, Spurgeon, who is one of the great theologians, but way back when, preacher.
Spurgeon was in the 19th century. He was one of the... One of the London churches, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're still talking today. We're working on it. Okay, now, Spurgeon has, and I think I've even shared it here, a wonderful, he has a lot of devotionals. And one in particular on heaven is beautiful. But we love talking about heaven. I think I've even shared it here. But we're talking about the other place today. So I thought, well, if he had a really good one that happened, what the heck? Oh, I have nothing to lose if I see if Spurgeon had anything to say about hell. And he did. And he did, and my apologies to those with visual impairments because I put a graphic up there instead of putting the words. So I'm going to read the words. Here is Spurgeon's thought about hell. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned or unprayed for. I mean, is how, how perfect is that? Don't let anyone go there. Don't go there. But what it's, you know, what it's indicating is that we have to be making some sort of effort for them not to go. Now there's people that are bound and determined to go. That's their choice. I mean, it is a choice, and it's one that the Lord has given us the opportunity. It's called free will. You can send yourself to hell. You certainly can, but as believers, we have to do everything on our part for that not to happen. We have to be concerned. We have to have that compassion. Okay, what should our response be? I suggest a twofold response. A practical response and an eternal response. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the practical. Okay, based on this story about this woman in a power chair just like mine, who went up like a patio torch, does everybody here have a working smoke detector in their house? Does everyone, does anyone not have a working smoke detector in their house? Didi, we are going to get you a smoke detector.
Thank you.
Dallas will install one, the city of Dallas. I will work with you. I will buy you one. I will get you one. We do not want to see Didi on the evening news.
I don't know if our house, if my, well, my sister's house has a smoke detector or not.
Check.
I will.
I think building codes, I think building codes after a certain year.
Yeah, it's a fairly new house, so it's probably got one.
Please.
Sure.
If there's any doubt in your mind, go get a smoke detector. I'll buy you a smoke detector. I mean, we have one that's sort of wired into our system.
You have to know to change the batteries every 6 months.
You do have to do that as well. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking, more heartbreaking. You had one and it had no batteries.
Right. It would be almost as if we'd never had a smoke detector.
The same difference, right? Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. It's one there, but it's no battery.
Are you able to get at it and bring it, or? No, no batteries.
You can call the fire department. They'll get it over there. That's what batteries.
I know the city of Dallas will install one. There's an app for that. We are going to get you taken care of it. Didi, we have fire safety between now and then. That would even be more heartbreaking that we knew about it and we're working on it. Still, the house went up. But that's good. Everyone else here today has a working fire alarm. Pastor, you have a working fire alarm, smoke alarm in your house? You and Chris, you got one?
Yeah,
it's
by the fan.
Okay. I'm serious. I'm going to move on. I just don't want.
I got 34 of them.
We do not want you to go up in flames here on earth, and we don't want you to stay there for eternity. Either one. Now, the eternal perspective is this. Christianity is not fire insurance, okay? It's our blessed assurance. And just being a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to heaven. But that's a really good place to start, amen?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need to do both. We need to focus. We need to focus on both. What should we be doing, eternal perspective, or, I mean, we need to be doing both, right? Because Christianity is, it's faith and not fear. I mean, you really, I know that there is a very famous sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
Jonathan Edwards.
Which is Jonathan Edwards. Yes. Which is like an hour and a half long, if you've ever listened to it. It's on YouTube, or you can listen to things. People came to the Lord, but they came out of fear. And when people are motivated by fear, that often isn't sustainable.
fear is a good motivator, but it's only for a short period of time.
But it's only for a short period of time. So Christianity really, the motivator is gotta be love, right? Faith, not fear. Love, not hate. And it has to be based on relationship and not rules. Because think of it this way, oops. Think of it this way. We're the smoke detectors, right? We're God's smoke detectors here on earth. We get to sound the alarm about people who are maybe not making the right decisions and so forth. But God's ultimately the one that is the fire extinguisher, right? So I just, you know, I want to just wrap it up by with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray. We pray for our safety and security here on earth. Over far more concerned about what happens after we leave here. So we just, you know, pray for compassion. We want to certainly make sure that Dee now has a working smoke detector. Because we don't want things to happen. They do things happen. But we have to take the effort to try to the best of our ability to try for things not to happen. Bad things not to happen. And yet also for good things to happen. So we praise you and thank you just for the awareness. We pray for the family of that woman. And I just, it's haunting. It's haunting to me. And I just, I pray for everyone to have that sort of gnawing, haunting awareness always about what our situation is, what we're here, why we're here, and why we're, what we're supposed to do while we're here. In terms of, you know, the long-term view of eternity. So we praise you, Lord, and we do thank you. We continue to press forward towards the goal, which is in Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen.